has that energy within them. I want to clarify here that when we're talking about being energetic, having that enthusiasm, there's two types of energy that people can have. In one case, somebody can be busy, they can be active, they're not lazy in any way. But the thing that drives them is something other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, I don't mean to say that if somebody, for example, is busy, you know, studying, busy working, busy earning a living, something along those lines, that busy studying, that somehow is other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What I mean is that there can be a goal which doesn't have God in the picture that can drive someone to be busy. Somebody is earning money and trying to earn extra money just because they have enough to take care of themselves and their family, but now they're just earning money just because. That's something other than God. But what I'm talking about is energy, spiritual energy, and according to a hadith, it's spiritual energy to do ta'a, to obey God. Now again, when we're talking about obedience of God, don't just limit your horizons to think about, okay, somebody who is fresh and ready and energetic to pray, to fast, to pay their zakat and khums. These worshipping the traditional acts of worship is part of it. Okay, now somebody who doesn't have that enthusiasm for prayer, doesn't have that enthusiasm for reciting Quran, or other acts of worship, definitely they can benefit from this because they need to figure out how they can tap into that source of spiritual energy. But what I'm saying though is that we should not limit our discussion just to these traditional acts of worship. Look at Nabi Musa. Nabi Musa is a prophet of God. He is somebody who's been gifted with the knowledge, a special knowledge of God. And the way that he's serving God is by serving other people. That can be an act of worship as well too, because we're doing it for the sake of God. And as a side point here, I want to mention that you know, when it comes to volunteering, right, and you see people volunteer and being active, this is something that is commendable, right? It's something that we should be looking to doing. Sometimes we get lazy about this as well too, but this is an act which is important as well too. Serving other people, trying to help other people is part of being a believer and part of being a Muslim. Just last night, I believe, I was sitting at the iftar in the center, and there were some of the main organizers sitting and discussing, and they were talking about doing a program in a couple of nights. And I was really surprised to hear from one of them, who, you know, somebody who speaks honestly, who's saying that, you know, we don't have volunteers. And to me that was really sad, because after so many years, so many accomplishments, if it's the same people who are doing the same things, then that's not really fair. There are communities out there, my brothers and sisters, there's communities out there where the youth, the young people, are the ones who run the community. They run the community. They're the ones who are serving the food, they're the ones who are planning the events. And the result isn't just they're not just giving the old people a chance to lay back and kick back. No, what they're doing is they're taking their advice, of course, and they're working with them, but they're creating centers which are relevant to the times, because they know the culture better than anyone else. So if we see that things aren't running up to speed, the food isn't, you know, served as fast, or even higher than that, the programs aren't running as smoothly as we want, then we need to see how we can get involved. And definitely, I mean, if one of the core members is admitting that, I mean, it's pretty sad. It should spur us to action. So we need to now understand that this energy, how can we tap into it? Where can we get it from? How can we combat that laziness? And I think if you think about, if you analyze what are the problems that we're facing, one of them definitely is this feeling of laziness in our community. Many times we tend to be sleeping, you know, dormant Muslims. We just are just sitting around, you know, watching TV, sleeping, eating, watching TV, sleeping, right? Summertime, vacation, kicking back. Where is that energy? How can we get that motivation to perform, to act? That desire, that enthusiasm. Please recite salawat. I'm going to mention two or three recommendations that we have from the Ahlul Bayt about how to cultivate that spiritual energy. The first one comes to us in the form of a saying from Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
He says, "Daddu tawaniya bil azm." In these three statements here, he's saying something very powerful. What he's saying is that the way to combat, please say salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
What the Imam Islam is saying is that the means of combating laziness and sluggishness is from within. It has to come from a determination and a will that comes from the inside. A purpose and a will that comes from within. And it's called azm. Azm in Arabic means determination or will. Now, this is something that when I say this word here, it might seem to you like something which is vague. Determination, will, like what does that mean, Brother Salim? Can you explain? I'm going to explain this in a very particular way, but just bear with me. First, we have to understand what we're talking about. We're talking about something from within that needs to take place, a transformation within, a decision that has to be made inside that will then be a means of combating sluggishness. Okay, because you know, human beings are part of us, we have an animal side to us as well too. We like to sleep. I don't know if you've ever gone to the zoo before, but if you ever go in the afternoon, it's not a good time to go, because when you go to the primate section, they're all just napping. You know, they're lazier than, you know, the laziest, you know, couch potato. Right? That's the animal side in us. You know, we can sympathize with that. We can, you know, we're like, yeah, I know what you're feeling, bro. Okay. So but that's part of us. Now how do we combat that? It comes from within. It's called azm, determination. Now, this is important. A lot of times the problem isn't that we don't know what we should be doing. Right? We know what we need to do. But it's not acting. The problem is not actually acting on what we know. Right? We know that we need help volunteering. We know that we should be reading Quran. We know that we should prepare for the lecture before we get here, because we know that the ayat are being posted on the website, but we don't do it. Alright? We know that we should be waking up and saying our prayers on time, but we don't do it. We know we should be trying to gain knowledge in Islam, but we don't. It's not a question about not knowing. It's a question about not doing. And this is very important, brothers and sisters. One of my teachers made a point which struck me really hard. He said that when Imam Zaman Islam comes, we shouldn't be naive and just think that the Imam, just by his coming, we are going to transform ourselves. That's not how it works. If we from now have not already transformed ourselves, if we inside of us haven't made the decision, we haven't made that determination, we don't have that azm, that determination within us, not even Imam Zaman himself can come and change that within us. Because this is a world of free will. It's up to us to make the decision. We have to decide to change. If we're not going to change, no one else can make us change. So what is it that we need to decide? What is that decision we need to make? It's a decision that needs to be made that from now on, if I want to see my sluggishness go away, I want to see that energy, I want to tap into it, I have to make a decision to become a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have to make a decision to become Muslim. Muslim means somebody who submits. A lot of us have had the blessing of being born Muslim. But have we ever become a Muslim? Have we ever decided to become Muslim? That from now, the resolution to be made is that from now I'm going to submit to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm going to do what He asks me to do. Now where does this come from? It comes from a thought process. It comes from reflection. It comes to thinking and saying, okay, wait a minute. As I look at the world around me, I see all these beautiful, this beautiful universe. I see that there's a purpose behind it. And there's a purpose, and that purpose is directly related to my purpose in life. It's not here in vain. God created all these things for human beings, and there's a purpose. It's not just about living a few days, you know, laughing a little bit, you know, like do some merrymaking and then dying. There's something I have to achieve. All these prophets that were sent, 124,000 prophets, could it be the case that every single one was saying something that wasn't right? But why is it that everyone had the same message, which was submit to God and you'll find success. Submit to God and you will be successful. قُولُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ تُفْلِحُ. had the doctrine of there is no God but Allah, meaning I'm not going to worship anything else, even myself, and that is the way that I'm going to find success. This type of thought process drives somebody to make the decision that, okay, right here and now, I'm going to make the decision to become a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If somebody is successful in doing that, then they should know that before they will be able to make that determination, there's something that they need to do, which is called tawbah. Meaning that from the time where they became baligh, where they reached the age of taklif, until now, they will have to think back over their past, and any type of disobedience they've done, any type of right of God that they've disobeyed, they'll have to seek forgiveness for that and make up for whatever needs to be made up. And similarly, any type of rights of people that they've trampled over, they need to make up for those as well too. Once this process is done, if there's any questions about that, I'll be happy to entertain that afterwards, inshallah. Once this is done, and they make this determination, then they will start to see that energy will come to them. After some time, of course, because it takes time to change. Change is a gradual thing. But after some perseverance, after sticking to their guns, keeping determined, they'll see that suddenly, that which was difficult before becomes easy for them. Prayers that used to be like a chore, reciting Quran, which used to be, na'udhu billah, boring, volunteering for community efforts, which used to be a drag, suddenly it starts to become exciting. Those things which used to be exciting, they pale in their color. And they lose their excitement for them. And without even trying, sometimes they'll be at night, they'll be sleeping, and their eyes will open up, and it'll be before Fajr time, they'll want to get up. They'll feel like getting up and doing wudu and talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They'll feel like reciting dua. They won't just be eager to just get back into bed right away. Something will be different about their lives. Now this is what I'm saying here, it's just words. But if you look at the history of so many people that I know personally, the history of great scholars, the history of pious people, you'll see that time and time after again, this is something which holds true. Now the sisters are saying that they need more room. If I can just ask the sisters to kindly move forward with a loud salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
One more time, please recite a loud salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Step number one is having that determination from within. Step number two is not doing something to break that determination. It's the month of Ramadan. It's very easy in the month of Ramadan to feel determined to do good, to feel determined to make that resolution to become a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you know how it goes, right? And it's something that all of us have experienced. That, you know, by the time Eid comes along, and then time passes a little bit, 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, suddenly that Ramadan spirit is gone. Where was that determination? Where was that connection with the Quran that I used to have? You know, I know people who, you know, during the month of Ramadan, like, you know, they stop doing some sins. Like, you know, they stop listening to music which is haram, they stop watching TV shows that are haram. But then it's sort of natural for them. They can't stay away from it too long, right? So after Ramadan, they go back to doing the same thing again, right? What is it that's wrong here? Why does this happen? Is it because God lifts that mercy from them? Na'udhu billah. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when somebody comes to Him, God, we shouldn't think badly of Him. When God gives him that mercy, it's there for him. But it's because of our own actions, because of our turning our back to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's when His punishment comes. And that's when we see that those blessings that we used to enjoy, they go away. So that's why we're told that if we want to keep our determination in place and tap into that spiritual energy, we have to make sure not to do anything which will break it. For example, there's a hadith which from the Ahlul Bayt where they say that if a person in the morning wakes up for the Fajr prayers, then as a result of that, their soul will be pure and clean. They will feel that energy within it. But if instead they sleep through them until the morning time, they sleep until dawn and the sun rises, at that point, أَصْبَحَ ثَقِيلًا مُوسِمًا, when they wake up, their soul will be heavy. And it will be at the point of having being sluggish. Meaning that just this one act of disobeying God, of not waking up when you have to, that has an effect on our soul. If we were determined before, we'll find that it's like now we're moving through quicksand. We're not able to move quickly. We're not able to like, we don't have that same energy that we had before. Of course, if this happens, we need to seek tawbah and do tawbah, and then as a result, you know, if it's accepted, then that sin will be obliterated. We'll feel light again. We'll feel like we can move. But this is important to watch. Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi says something interesting. He says that his teacher, Shah Abadi, said that one of the biggest ways of cutting your resolution, of breaking your determination, is by listening to music. That which weakens the soul, which weakens that determination, is listening to music, which is haram. The third way that we can try to keep this determination and tap into this source of spiritual energy is by being careful about the people that we're around. People that we're around influence us a lot. When we see people who are active, we feel like being active. When we see people who are energetic about worshipping God, we feel energetic about it. And the opposite is true as well. You know, I study in Iran during the school year. And I don't know if you've ever visited Iran, but the driving habits of, you know, the typical Iranian driver are a little bit on the atrocious side, to put it mildly. Okay, and I don't drive there, but I ride in taxis. And you know, sometimes I go in friends' cars. And so, you know, I've noticed this year after year. When I come back during the summer, at the beginning of the summer, you know, I get my dad's car, or I'm using Brother Farid's car, whoever's car, right? Without even thinking about it, I have this natural tendency to like drive like a maniac. You know, I'm sitting there and I feel like, you know, just going and putting my car, you know, just driving right behind the bumper of the guy in front of me, and then like just passing the guys, it's just something that without even trying, I become like that. I'm not even driving in Iran, but just by seeing people drive like that, it has an effect on my driving habits. It's the same thing when it comes to people and the people we interact with. You know, I have this blessing or, you know, opportunity where I can see people for a little bit, short period of time, and then I go away and I come back and I see them again. So, you know, I sort of, it's like seeing this, like, you know, every so often I'm seeing like a little snapshot of them. And it's so interesting how myself, my wife also, we can see sometimes the way people change because of the people they hang around. Like they're staying in the same family, they're with the same community, but one time, you know, like for example, in one year, they're one way, and then the other year, they're totally like, you know, out of it. Like, you know, they don't have that same respect anymore. They don't have that same interest anymore. That keenness is gone from them. They're just coming because, you know, like, hey, Assalamu alaikum, how's it going, Muslim? And then, you know. And the other opposite is true as well, too. Somebody before, you know, who are you? And then suddenly, now they come out of the woodworks, they're like, you know, they're coming, they're participating, they're interested, they have good questions to ask. They're taking advantage of the opportunities. A lot of times it goes back to the people we hang around. People who are active, people who do things, that can make us feel active as well too. So, brothers and sisters, from these points, from this discussion, I hope we can understand that we need to try to cultivate this energy. We're inspired by the example of Nabi Musa alayhi salam to cultivate this energy. We see in the next verse, in verse number 24, Nabi Musa alayhi salam, he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes, he says, ثُمَّ تَوَلَّى إِلَى الظِّلِّ فَقَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي لِمَا أَنزَلْتَ إِلَيَّ مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَقِيرٍ. After doing this job of watering the animals, and by the way, this was not an easy task. According to one tradition, it was the work of 8 people or something, meaning that you need 8 people to do the job that Nabi Musa alayhi salam did all by himself. So after doing that, he goes under the shade and he rests a little bit. But look at the dua that he says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the dua of somebody who is excited and enthusiastic about being a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says that, my Lord, indeed I am in need of any good you may send down to me. According to the commentator Allama Tabatabai rahmatullahi alayhi, what Nabi Musa alayhi salam is asking for here is more strength. He wants even, because he's tired now, but he has that desire within him to do even more. He had an opportunity to save somebody who was being oppressed by the oppressor. You remember that from a couple of nights ago. He had the opportunity to escape from the oppressors. He had the opportunity to help these 2 women who are in need. He wants to do even more good. But right now he's weak in energy. He doesn't have that strength. So he's asking Allah. He's not saying, oh Allah, you know, give me a comfortable bed in a hotel room because I want to relax. He's saying, oh Allah, I need more strength from you because I want to do even more good. I want to do even more good in serving you in whatever way that I can do. This is the spirit of Nabi Musa alayhi salam. What this means, my brothers and sisters, is that we need to try to combat that laziness. We have to understand that the time that we have, the free time that we have, is very valuable. We shouldn't squander it. Inshallah, some other time, if we have the opportunity, we'll talk about free time and how to best make use of it. But I just want to mention a couple of points before we end. One comes to us from a hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. He says something very profound. He says, لا يعرف قدر ما بقي من عمره إلا نبي أو صديق. He says that there's no one who understands the value of how much of the time that is left in his or her life except for a prophet of God or somebody who is a siddiq, somebody who is extremely truthful and one of the followers of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Most people in the world, in other words, most people in the world don't understand the value of how much time they have left in their lives. Only when that time is gone and expires and they're looking back on their lives, at that point does the regret begin. But here as young people, or people who are young in their hearts, we have an opportunity that God gave us to make use of it in the best way possible. Let's do that. Let's try on this night to make that resolution not to squander our time, to make the most of it. According to hadith, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الشَّابَ الْفَارِغِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or it's لا يغوي, either it says that Allah does not love that youth who is idle. Meaning they just have free time and they're just, you know, sitting around. He wants that we should be active, we should be doing something. There was a young person I was talking to some time back in another community. He was a person who had realized this despite his young age. So he told me something. He's like, you know, Brother Salim, I really like to watch sports. But I realized that I wasted a lot of time watching sports. So what I did is I got my parents to buy me one of those, you know, those devices that let me record TV. And what I do now is, like for example, when I'm watching baseball, instead of watching it live, I watch it after the game and I record it. And what I do is I just fast forward whenever that ticker tape on the bottom that shows the score, whenever it changes, I pause it and then I rewind like, you know, a minute or two. And so, you know, I watch how they got, you know, how they scored the next, you know, whatever the next, what did they say in baseball? What did it run? The next run. All right. Or same thing in football, whatever. You know, so he's like, I just watch that and so I get all the highlights that way, but then I don't waste my time. I thought that was really inspiring, you know, that he figured out this way. It's not that we're saying don't watch TV or, you know, don't enjoy yourself. No, this is something that he enjoyed doing. Fine. But he realized that there's a way to do it in a smarter way, that he can use his time in a better way. So many times we see people, another brother was telling me that, you know, he uses Facebook for something. He said, yeah, you know, I try to use it for good purposes. I go, sometimes I'm doing homework and I go online, I have the question. And so I, you know, my friends are online as well too, so I ask them the question that I'm working on and I get their help. But then he admitted to me, he's like, yeah, so I can use it for some good things, but then, you know, inevitably, after I ask the question, I get the answer, I have to spend at least a half an hour just, you know, watching around, just looking at other people's Facebooks and just, you know, posting whatever updates on my wall, whatever, you know. This is the way we are, unfortunately. There's so much time that's wasted, so many opportunities that we let pass. Finally, I want to just end with an example of somebody who had an extreme amount of spiritual energy. An example of somebody that all of us, you know, hold dear to our hearts, and that's the example of Hazrat Abbas alayhi salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Hazrat Abbas alayhi salam, you know, usually we talk about him in the context of his loyalty, of his bravery, his strength. And all of these are in place. All of these were, you know, outstanding and incredible. But there's one ziyarah that we're told to recite in which some of the characteristics of Hazrat Abbas alayhi salam are explained that I found very inspiring. I wanted to share this with you. In this ziyarah, we say that Hazrat Abbas alayhi salam was al-akhud dafi'u an akhi. He was that brother who was always defending his brother. Okay, that's one point. And then, al-mujibu ila ta'ati rabbihi. The one who, whenever it came to an opportunity to worship God, to obey God, he was the first person to respond. He was there. Number three, al-raghibu fima zahida fihi ghayruhu min al-thawab al-jazil wa thana al-jamil. Hazrat Abbas alayhi salam was the one who had this passion within him. And he would be seeking the reward of God in areas that no one else would even dare to seek. Meaning that he went to levels that no one else was even willing to go to. This was the passion and that zeal in Hazrat Abbas alayhi salam. You know, on the day of Ashura, when Hazrat Abbas alayhi salam is seeing one after another these soldiers and then the family of the Ahlul Bayt perform their duty in front of God by giving up their lives and trying to defend themselves, finally he gets to the point where Hazrat Abbas, he can't contain himself anymore. He needs to go and perform his duty. He has this passion within him, and it's something that overrides any type of personal desires he may have. He knows what the will of God is, and he goes to Imam Hussain and he tells him that, I need to go. أريد أن أطلب ثاري من هؤلاء المنافقين. I want to seek revenge from these munafiqeen. I'm tired of this life. I need to go. He tells his brother. His brother doesn't want to see him go, but he goes. And you know the story. He goes to fetch the water, and then look at what he says on the way back. They cut off his right arm, and he says that, "Wallahi in qata'atum yamini, fa inni uhami abadan an dini wa an imamin sadiq al yaqini." Like, these words are so inspiring if we just think about them. That I swear by Allah, they have cut off my right hand. Okay, he's in that state. They cut off my right hand. Right? Just think about how many right now in the Muslim Ummah right now, what's happening out there? Sometimes when you're sitting around just lazy and doing nothing, just think about these people who, like these care people. You know, what are they doing? They're saying that we're promising that any type of need that any Muslim has, without any fee, we're going to take care of the problem. We're guaranteeing you that if we can't take care of the problem, we're going to find somebody who can take care of it for you. Isn't that inspiring? Wallahi in qata'atum yamin. I swear by Allah, if you cut off my right hand, then what's my response going to be? I'm not going to be lazy. I'm not going to sit around and just weep and go woohoo. I mean, I'm going to do something about it. فَإِنِّي أُحَامِي أَبَدًا عَنْ دِينِي. There's something that drives me. I'm going to forever protect my religion. وَأَنْ إِمَامٍ صَادِقِ الْيَقِينِ. And this imam, okay, my brother, even though he's my brother, he's the imam, and that's why I'm defending him. صَادِقِ الْيَقِينِ, the truthful one, the one who's filled with certainty. And this is the spirit of Hazrat Abbas alayhi salam. I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we can get some of the spirit for ourselves, that we can resolve on this night, on the nights of Qadr, to change, to have this determination within us, so that we can get this energy to perform the duties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked us to perform. Please say salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.